This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Gary Holt. And joining me in Missouri is our co-host for Saddle Up America, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Gary. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It is sunshiny. It's a beautiful day. It's time for folks to get out and hit the trails. And I know we've got a lot of great information, a lot of great riding destinations to talk about today. And so why don't you just tell us who we've got joining us?
Oh, absolutely. Today we have Susanna Gibson, founder and publisher of Trailblazer Magazine. Then we travel to Reserve, New Mexico, and talk with Preston Bates, owner of the N Bar Ranch.
All right, so this is going to be a fun show. Susanna is one of my favorite people to have join us on the show, and we look forward to talking with her and with Preston. And we want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian and Western lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And by our great show sponsors, Trailhead Supply, your full-service online packing supply store. You can shop with Trailhead Supply online at trailheadsupply.com. And by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance, founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. Learn more today about TrailGuard at trailguard.org. So grab a cup of coffee, take a deep seat, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Susanna Gibson. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Ride in the range together, my saddle pals and I. Through every kind of weather, my saddle pals and I. Every night neath the light of the bright starry night on the prairie, battered down all around on the ground, all the cattle are weary. With a blanket for my bed and a saddle for my head on the prairie, and the faithful ponies tethered here and there. Riding the range together, my saddle pals and I. We're side by side in the saddle, through sunshine and through rain. We ride, ride, ride in the saddle, over the barren plain. Ride in the range together, my saddle pals and I. Through every kind of weather, my saddle pals and I. Every night meets the light of the bright starry night on the prairie, bedded down all around on the ground, all the cattle are weary. With a blanket for my bed and a saddle for my head on the prairie, and the faithful ponies tethered here and there. Oh, ride in the range together, my saddle pals and I.
Well, that is the Hanson Family Singers and My Saddle Pals and I, and I'm fortunate to have my saddle pals with me today. Good morning, Susanna.
Good morning from Central California.
From Central California. Hey, how far are you from Santa Clarita?
Santa Clarita.
Down just outside of L.A.?
Oh, probably 200 miles.
Oh, okay. All right. They just had a big cowboy festival, their 22nd year down there this past weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah, and yeah, we did a live show from out there last Thursday, and it was so much fun. And you're going to have to cowboy up and head down there next year.
I am. I get so chained to the desk doing the job I love that I don't get out as much as I used to. But that
feels
like a blast.
We'll have to change that, won't we, Tina Mae?
That's right.
Yes, we will.
That's right.
Well, listen, we've got a lot of...
I need to spend more time on the trail than in the office.
There you go. There you go. Hey, we've got a lot to talk about today, and I just want to let folks know that this morning you sent me photographs that but yeah, for a guy that doesn't like heights, almost made me, may I say dizzy? I won't say the other thing, but it kind of made me a little bit dizzy. for folks that haven't been with us before, you are quite the daredevil. So you're a skydiver and a trail rider, and you had quite an experience at the Grand Canyon. And let's talk a little bit about that. And, you know, how did you decide to ride the canyon, and how did you prepare for it?
Well, if I had asked questions and not just gone into it so naive, I wouldn't have done it. Start with that. I just had an idea to ride from the border of Utah on the Arizona Trail to the beautiful campsite, by the way, amazing campsite for horse people at the north rim of the Grand Canyon. And then we spent 2 days and then decided to ride the Grand Canyon rim to rim in 2 days and then finish up on the other side and head home. So I prepared for it for, probably a solid 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't so hard for me to prepare for it for the horse because I had done endurance riding for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I really knew how to ride trails and how to take care of my horse and keep them hydrated and all that. But it was a pretty tricky ride. And I had a girl that wanted to do it with me. And this is a tip number one. Do not take young horses on difficult situations. She had this beautiful saddlebred horse, but he was only 4 years old, and so we started out that morning, and then about 50 feet down, she turned around and quit.
Oh, my.
And she said, this is crazy, I'm not going to do it. And so, you know, when another horse turns around, you got about 10 seconds at most to get going or do something, or your horse starts to get really antsy.
Right.
So I yelled, and I said, well, I didn't train all this time to quit. I'm not quitting. And she said, you're crazy. And I said, well, see you on the other side. And off I went.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so right from the beginning, there was a little bit of drama there. But I had bought a horse for that trip. And it was one of those gorgeous little, my pretty pony, dappled Palomino white mane and tail Tennessee Walkers, and he was a great horse, but he was kind of antsy, and it was so wrong to even think that I could take him. But we had a neat backup horse, and there was an older gentleman named Gene years ago who had ridden to all lower 48 state capitals using two horses. And he was on that. It was a mission thing, I think, raising money for an orphanage in Peru. So those horses were bomb-proof. I mean, they were bomb-proof. And they just, one of them, actually both of them happened to live in the town that I was in. I helped arrange that after he retired. So a week before we left, we decided we should have a backup horse. His name was Frank. And so, George, it was George. And he was a just big, tall, 15'2 Tennessee Walker. And that morning, I just had this gut feeling that I should ride George. And I had never even sat on his back before.
Oh, wow.
And that was probably one of the brightest ideas I had ever in my life. just my
That's
little fancy dancing. Yeah, because there are so many things on the, you know, horses come up to obstacles that are confusing or scary or whatever, and they dance around, you know, they kind of sit and dance around. Well, this is a trail you don't dance around on. You've got about 48 inches max, and you're off the cliff. So, and he was just steady as a rock. He's still to this day absolutely my hero. so that's how I got there and started it. And it took about, it's hard to explain because it was so scary, but I was not afraid, that you had to be in the moment. Every step you had to be in the moment. And most of us don't live in the moment. I mean,
right.
Thinking way ahead and all that. But you had to be, I mean, they had switchbacks that really a big horse had to kind of take a couple whacks at it. And to be in the moment in the Grand Canyon still just lights my heart up because it was so unbelievably magnificent. And I just got into this almost zen thing with the horse where we just went one step at a time. It took us, I think, 7 hours to get to the bottom, and it was timeless, actually. It just seemed timeless to me to go down.
Oh, wow. Seven hour ride is a pretty good ride.
It is, and it was 7 hours for 8 miles.
And down here on incline or decline.
That one was a decline, yeah.
Decline.
And it didn't seem... Well, there was a couple places that were steep, but that particular from the north rim down is not as steep as the other half of the trail. we got to the bottom, and I jumped off George over some green grass by a stream, and I let him eat for almost an hour. And then I put a feed bag on him that I had brought some grain, and I put the feed bag on him, and I let him, and I thought I would just, you know, take the kinks out of my legs, and I ended up walking the next 7 miles on foot because it was just so glorious. We were along a stream. It started to rain a little bit. George is snacking down the way, and I was just, I mean, I did that for my 60th birthday, and I felt like I was like 25 years old.
I just couldn't believe
how good I felt, and doing it alone, in hindsight, I'm really glad that I did because it just allowed us to just have that, you know, wonderful experience without any kind of, you know, anything interrupting it.
Right. Now, is there, Susanna, is there just one trail down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon? Is this the trail that the mules take? And
yes, it's, from the north rim, there's one trail down. From the south rim, there's two trails down. It's the South Kaibab is one, which is a really bad one to take. And then there's the Bright Angel Trail. And the Bright Angel Trail from the south is the one that that they take the mules down. So here's the story. So as we're going down, you saw the pictures. It's not real wide. There's not a lot of pull.
No, there wasn't. No, there wasn't. As a matter of fact, I was hoping. Yeah, I just started to say I was hoping that what you had on your back was a parachute, just in case. But I don't think it was.
Yeah, that was a water hydration thing.
Gary's going down the Grand Canyon.
No, Gary's not going.
I know. Well, I'm a very prepared person. but the mule guys, and I understand, but it still wasn't very nice. They were not very polite. In fact, they were worse than not polite to me. They don't like private stock on the trail.
Yeah.
You have to get a permit a year in advance. I mean, it takes a lot to be able to be allowed on the trail. And I understand why they don't. I totally understand. But they ended up coming up. We had a little bit of a delay with rain, so we didn't go down as soon as we should have. So the mule train with about 20 mules started coming up toward me, and they couldn't turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And so George, there was a little bit of an outcrop uphill, and I backed him up to the outcrop and, you know, had him stand up there. And you just don't know. Some horses freak out when they see mules, or I thought maybe he'd get excited and want to follow them. He just stood following the rock. I felt like I was crazy horse, you know, that statue.
Yeah.
So the mules went past, and then I got down to the bottom, and I hiked the next 7 miles. Not that I'm any kind of athlete, but I just felt great. And then you go down to the bottom and you come to Phantom Ranch. And Phantom Ranch is just this little village with all these little bitty cabins and camping spaces right on the Colorado River. And what they allow for the horse people is they have one tie bar on a piece of cement and a picnic table, and that's what you get.
Wow.
And it was funny because I thought it was Fantasy Island. As I came into the village, people said, "Wow, someone on horseback rider. And that's when I learned that I was only the second private stock person that had gone through that year, and that was in September.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
The rider.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So, so made it to the bottom. The park ranger had been alerted. I ended up just kind of walking around as long as I could, letting George graze on the grass near the river all night long. And then the park ranger, this is one thing, I had to camp outside. It's not my thing to camp on the ground, bugs and critters and stuff, not my thing. But
right.
I had to do it. But he did invite me in to his cabin, and he made quesadillas, and we had a wine. And I have to admit, I had a little bit of luxury there for a while. And he said, "You want to sleep on the couch?" And I said, "Nah, I got to go out and sleep on the ground at the Grand Canyon."
Oh,
well, that
wow.
was the first half of the ride.
All right. Well, now don't go to the second half yet, because we've got to take a real quick break. But
okay.
We want to come back. I want to find out a little bit more about the length of time that you spent down there, and a little bit about the camping experience down there, and then your
mm-hmm.
exciting ride back up. But right now we want, yeah. But right now we want to recognize one of our show sponsors, and that's Trailhead Supply. Trailhead Supply is your full service online horse packing supply store, with their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana. Trailhead Supply doesn't just sell packing supplies. They stand behind every product they sell, and they use them. Trailhead Supply is your online source for the very best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. Shop with Trailhead Supply online at trailheadsupply.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Susanna. We're going to find out from Tina May just a little bit about our Legacy Club. But right now we're going to listen to Palomino by Marianne Kennedy, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Thank you.
Membership is free. The benefits are great, like discounts and promos from our Legacy Club sponsors, select campgrounds, dude ranches, and Western vacations. As a Legacy Club member, you are automatically entered into our free prize drawing, like our end-of-the-year prize of a two-horse Hydro Horse watering system from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse, and our monthly prize drawing, like this month's $100 gift certificate from our select sponsor, Tucker Tax. You can sign up to be a Legacy Club member at equestrianlegacy.net.
All right, so exciting perks for being a Legacy Club member, and it's absolutely free. So visit our website, equestrianlegacy.net, and sign up today. And, Susanna, that song that I just did was kind of a salute to you and our second guest that's coming on, because you're out there in California where that vaquero tradition and lifestyle is really evident. And then we're going to be in New Mexico in just a little bit. So, yeah, we're going to do a little Spanish-themed music throughout the show today. So, anyway, but I
could wear my sombrero.
Yeah, could have. Could have. But when you were making your descent down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, did you encounter hikers as you were going down and they were coming back up?
We did. In fact, that was another funny little story. There was about six, looked like college-age students. We didn't have a lot of hikers coming up at that point. But there were about six college-age students, and they were kind of sitting on one of the few outcroppings. And I had ridden along, and my horse started acting really funny. And I looked back, and the saddle pad had slipped completely out from underneath his saddle, and it was just sort of flapping behind him.
Oh, I mean, wow.
This horse is. And I don't have a lot of room on the trail. I don't know what I'm going to do. My saddle and all my gear was really heavy, really, really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I jumped off of him on the uphill side of the cliff, and I walked not very far, and all of a sudden I saw these six kids, or young people. And so I asked them if they would help me. Well, they were from Czechoslovakia, and they did not speak English. And so I said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to undo the cinch and a couple things, and I want four people to, one at each corner, to lift the saddle up while it's still on the horse. And it was hysterical, because I was trying to explain to them, and the girls were giggling and laughing, because I don't think they were horse people. So they did that, and then I put the pad back underneath and pulled it forward and really cinched it down tight, and then got back on him, and off we went. So that was a group of hikers. And when I got to the bottom, I remember, I'm sure there was more, I just can't remember, but I remember there were two, and one lady was bald, and asked her how she was doing. Well, she was going through chemotherapy for breast cancer,
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, I'm in between chemos and I just need some canyon time. And that just so inspired me, you know, that that she was, and of course later on I am a breast cancer survivor.
Right.
And
right.
But I remember them and how inspiring that was for me, that she wasn't sitting home feeling sorry for herself. She was, I've gone through chemo and I know how sick it makes you. But those are the only two that I remember. A couple ones who went along the bottom, but not a whole lot.
Well, I know that had to be a thrilling adventure, doing that alone and meeting the folks you did.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the ascent, because this is an exciting story. This is not something I would recommend people doing.
No, me neither. Nor would I do it again. If I knew ahead of time, I'd make different decisions. We had to get up at 4:00 in the morning because we had to follow the mule train out. They had to go first. That was fine. But the mule guys came over, and we were totally set to go up the Bright Angel Trail. That's the one they go up and down. It's not as steep. It has some shade trees on it, and there is one water stop halfway up. So that was where I was. Well, the mule guys said, oh, no, no, that's not the one you want to go up. You want to go up the South Kaibab Trail. And I said, I don't think so. I think I want Bright Angel. Oh, no, 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 you should go up the South Kaibab. You should go up. Nobody should go up the South.
Now, these were the guys that were very rude to you coming down, am I correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The mule concession there, and I understand. I understand for them what a half-foot is for people with private stock, but that was unsafe for them to tell me that. And it put me in a very, very difficult position. So they left, and I said, okay, well, they must know what they're doing. And I should have absolutely known, but I let them talk me out of it, which I don't usually let people talk me out of things. So the first obstacle we experienced right out of camp is a long suspension bridge that goes across the Colorado River. You know, bridges make noises, and the sides weren't very high, and so any horse would get a little nervous, and we're up there pretty high. And then you the next step off of the bridge is into a black hole tunnel that kind of angled so you couldn't see any light in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to ask everybody, how many people have horses that would go across the suspension bridge really high and then just walk right into a black hole?
Not too many.
None that I've ever owned except for George. And he was so funny. He would, when we came to something like that, he would turn around and he'd spy and he'd bump my stirrup. And I'd say, yep, you can do it. Let's go. And then he'd sigh again and then off he'd go and walk. So on that particular day, the trail was so steep that I realized that I couldn't help him to get off and hike or tail him up or anything. It was also almost 100 degrees.
Mm-mm.
And the South Kaibab Trail has no trees, no water, no shade, nothing, just nothing. And so we hadn't even gone up half a mile, and he was dripping sweat so profusely that I said, okay, this isn't going to work because, you know, what can I do? And so the game was, or the plan was, how slow can we go to have him be able to do it? And so we ended up going at about 1 mile an hour. I mean, it was, again, this time warp. And if you saw that picture of me, I had on this special, I had a cool vest on. I had the special Kooloo material that helps the wind go through. So I wasn't hot.
Mm-hmm.
I had brought a mister thing. People probably have seen them where you put water in and pump it hydraulically, and then it's a mist. So I misted in all the way up the trail. And I remember one very, very magical moment where we came up and there was a little bit of an opening outcropping that looked over the river. And I walked out there, and right at that moment, a breeze, a cool breeze, flew over me. And I just felt the presence of God, because it was like, okay, everything's going to be fine. So we went 1 mile an hour up the hill. There was two times when people coming down asked if I needed water. And I said, yes. Now, I had a water hydration system with me, but George needed as much water as we could give him.
Right.
And so they'd give me like a big quart bottle, and as soon as they went around the corner, I'd jump off and give it to George. And then get back on him. Because I was fine. He was the one doing the work. And then
right.
he started to mellow out, and his sweating wasn't as much. And I could, you know, I was taking his heart rate, and 1 mile an hour was a doable thing. But it went on and on and on and on and on and on, times a thousand. It just seemed, I stopped looking up because, and it was only, I think, 9 miles. But I stopped looking up because it was just endless. So, again, I just sort of got into my little Zen moment. Mostly I was worried about him. He had a rub where his breast collar was, so I had some Desitin. And when the hikers would come down, if they weren't terrified of horses, I would ask them if they would take that tube and squeeze him out and put it over the sore so he wouldn't, you know, wouldn't go raw. And so
right.
that's how the hikers helped me going up. And we made it, all of a sudden we got, made it to kind of a check station that the Forest Service has. And I didn't have, somebody had told me it was still 5 miles to the top or something. And I pulled in there, and I asked them how far it was, and they said, oh, about a mile and a half.
Oh, that sounded good. Yeah.
They just have seen me dance. Then I asked them if there was any way they had some water that I could give my horse. And they said, sure. So they went over and got about a 2-gallon bucket and brought it over, and George drank, and then he peed a light yellow. And for people that are offended by that, that's actually a good thing, that he wasn't dehydrated.
Right.
And so the last little bits where you see me walking up those staircases, because the trail, for erosion purposes, they would put logs along the trail. So the horse would step, you know, they couldn't just take a stride. They had to sort of step over
up.
One log and
yeah.
then kind of hop over the other. So it made it much, much more difficult for him to relax. And I was massaging him and relaxing him, and then we finally got to the top, made it all the way to the top, and the only boogaloo there was that the South Kaibab Trail did not end up at the horse camp, which Bright Angel did. So I was so exhilarated that I went ahead and just started walking along the roadside and walked another couple miles to be there. And George looked fantastic. I was high as a kite. I'm still high as a kite 4 years later.
Wow.
But the last bit of the funny story is I realized I had used my camera and didn't bring an extra battery. So all my pictures were going down, and I'd run out of camera. And I realized there wasn't a single picture of me on the trail. And I thought, oh, man, that makes me so sad. I went online, and I did a story in Trailblazer about it, and I just typed in, you know, photograph, horseback rider, Grand Canyon, and there was that picture of me that one of the hikers had taken from the rear. And
oh, wow.
I know, and I went, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. And
how cool.
And so we made it, and I lived to tell it. And, yes, I would not recommend it to people unless they've got a horse that is absolutely bulletproof. And even
oh,
then.
Wow.
But I was blessed. God blessed me with making the right decision to use George that day. And wherever he is now, I just want to give him a big shout-out because he's an amazing horse.
Oh, wow. Well, that is quite an adventure. And, of course, Tina May's just sitting there saying, oh, yeah, I want to do that. So,
Well, now, you know, my horse has been on swinging bridges, and he's been in train tunnels.
Oh.
But I don't know know if he'd go off in this, I don't know about this hole you're talking about. So.
Yeah, and it wasn't real tall. There were several tunnels that you had to go through on the trail. And he was a big horse. And they were, you know, made for hikers mostly. And he never balked. I mean, my little pretty little Palomino pony would never. I mean, he would have danced around, and it would have been, there would have been stress. And through the whole ride, there was no stress in my life except when I realized the mule guys had lied to me and that I was going up the trail that you should not go up. But I knew from my endurance background, I knew how to take care of them. I knew how to keep them hydrated. I knew how to, you know, and there'd be little tiny outcroppings where there might be a little shade, and I'd snuggle him up against it and fan him and mist him, and just those are all the things that you learn on endurance wise. So I wouldn't have made it without that background, but it's a memory that's just ingrained. I thank you for letting me tell you that story, because it's just, it gave me courage back. It gave me, reminded me that I still could do stuff, you know, that I didn't have to be so old lady careful, that I could just get out there and do some things. And that's one of the,
you're
one
a
of
wonder
the
woman,
Donna.
No,
I, I was nine. I didn't even ask if people wrote it on their horses. So
well,
that is fantastic.
That is a great story. That is a great story. Awesome. Well, we're running out of time again. We want to find, what's coming up in Trailblazer?
Boy, every issue is better than the last, I can't tell you. We've got a great saddle fit series that I think is one of the best we've ever done, that starts in the June issue. So if people subscribe now, they can we'll be able to get that one. We've got articles on how to ride your horse over Turkey Trail. We have two of the best trainers in the country, in my mind, Sean Patrick and Sue De Laurentiis, that teach really down-to-earth, easy-to-understand ways to teach your own horse how to do the things that you need to do when you're out on the trail, because your horse has to be very, very well-behaved to side pass and to turn around and all that. And I think they're just the best there is, and I love having them in there. We have some really fun things. We have letters from people, trail diaries where people send pictures and stories about their trails, and I think National Forest. No, it was horse packing. It was a story on four different horse packers across the United States, and amazing pictures. And Trailblazers, like National Geographic magazine, that's how somebody has described it. It's printed on just the best paper, and everything in it, it just pops out. So I hope people subscribe. I guarantee you it'll become your favorite magazine.
Well, it's a beautiful magazine, and you've got great writers. And I was thinking about the show this morning, and John Tanner does some writing for you, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Oh, and
John's been on the show, several of our different shows in the past, so one day you're going to have to find out from him about what he was doing in his underwear and boots at 2 o'clock in the morning, chasing
again.
I like to tease John about that. 2 o'clock in the morning, he's out in his underwear and his boots in the snow. Great story. But anyway, we always love talking with you and having you on the show. And the website is trailblazermagazine.us. Trailblazermagazine.us, and a great page on Facebook. And I think there's a story about our trail ride coming up in the next issue, isn't there?
It's in this issue. Yep, in the issue that's coming out.
Yeah, so we appreciate that and look forward to that. And you know that we're just about 6 weeks away from you and I dancing Cowboy Up Ball.
See, that's scarier than going up the Grand Canyon.
And I'll take pictures.
Yeah, Tina May will get pictures. So that'll be good.
Okay.
So we're looking forward to that. But we always love having you
so
on.
Much.
Well, thank you, and look forward to having you back again next month, and then we'll be seeing you.
Yes, you must.
All right.
I love it.
Try
looking
for that commitment on there.
Good
so anyway. All right.
Well
Susanna,
happy
thanks.
Trails.
Happy trails to you, and we'll talk with you soon. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you, Susanna. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right. Always so much fun having Susanna Gibson on with us. And
she's a delight.
She is a delight. And we need to remind folks that Saddle Up America is brought to you by Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Learn more about them at trailguard.org. And by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. And you can shop with them at trailheadsupply.com. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Preston Bates at the Inbar Ranch in the Land of Enchantment. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I met a lady in my drifting days. I quickly fell under the spell of her loving ways. A rose in the desert, I loved her so. In the land of enchantment, New Mexico, we watched the sunset by the Rio Grande. The mission bell rang farewell. She took my hand. She said, come back, amigo. No matter where you go, to the land of enchantment, New Mexico.
Michael Martin Murphy and the state song for New Mexico, Land of Enchantment. And we're going to welcome to the show now Preston Bates with the Inbar Ranch. Hi, Preston.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Good morning, Preston.
Doing great. Looking forward to talking with you about the fabulous Inbar Ranch. And before I forget this, as we get into our conversation, a good friend of both you and mine, Doug Figgs, Farrier Figgs, said to tell you he'd see you next week.
Yep. Gosh dang it. Yeah, Doug kind of cut his teeth on singing in front of folks up here at the ranch. He's been shoeing for us for heck of probably over 20 years now.
He is a neat guy, and we're actually going to play one of his songs in just a little bit. But anyway, he said to tell you howdy, and he'd see you in a week. So you better have those horses ready for him. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit, Preston, about your background with horses, where you came from, and then how Inbar Ranch came to be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a long story. Born in Georgia and grew up in Virginia and Kentucky. Grew up around the thoroughbred world. I feel real lucky and fortunate to have made my living with horses for the last 40-some years. And done a whole lot of different things. I've worked on the racetrack, drove carriages at Colonial Williamsburg in Virginia, worked with draft horses, twitching logs out of the woods. So I've done a whole bunch with different horses, you know, different aspects of the horse world. And so I was in the thoroughbred business primarily for years, and a client had a ranch out west, and I went out there for a while and kind of got the western bug. I grew up always, you know, trail riding with friends and wanting to be able to ride for more than just a couple miles before you came to a road or fence. And that first taste of western riding, I was hooked, you know, riding days and without ever coming across a paved road. So I got hooked, moved out west almost 30 years ago and haven't looked back since.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, that's an interesting story. It's always fascinating to me to learn how people that either have guest ranches or horse campgrounds came to do that, because there are very few people that grow up dreaming about having a horse campground or a guest ranch.
Well, I didn't really grow up dreaming about having one, but I did, you know, I grew up dreaming about having just wide open space and being able to go out camping with your horse. You know, as a kid, we used to go camping with our horses, but we were only like three-quarters of a mile away from the house.
Right.
So, you know, so it's that couldn't, you know, I've always loved being out on the trail with the horses. And so the guest camp, horse camp, just kind of facilitates that for us to live where we live. It's paradise out here. Be around horses, be around horse people. You know, we like people. We don't necessarily like living where a lot of people live. So this works out great for us. We have people come visit us all the time. We don't have to go anywhere, and we get people from all over the world coming to see us. So it's a great world to be in.
Well, that's
nice.
Cool. That's cool. Well, Tina May, I know you had a lot of questions about the Inbar Ranch that you wanted to talk with Preston about.
Yes, I do, and I want to start out with telling us what the Inbar Ranch has. Tell us about the facilities that you have there.
Well, at the what we call the ranch headquarters, it's an old ranch headquarters. It's one of the old cabins is over 100 years old. A lot of history.
Wow.
To the ranch. The ranch has been around since the late 1800s, and since I've come in here 20-some-odd years ago, we've got seven cabins, old cookhouse, really neat place. And we're pretty primitive. I tell folks it's just a step up above camping. Because we do have an outhouse. There's a shower house that's shared. There's a men's and women's side. So it's, you know, we're certainly no fancy five-star sort of place. We're rustic, western, clean, cozy, and comfortable as far as the accommodations go. And the great thing about where we are is the diversity of terrain we have to ride. I searched for a couple years. I traveled around the West looking for the perfect place to start this sort of operation after having been involved with one up in Wyoming for a few years. And I settled on this place basically because of the variety of terrain it has, the remoteness that it is. You can ride out our West Gate and you're in the tall timber country. You can ride out the East Gate, and it looks like you're in the Dakotas. It's rolling grasslands. You can ride something new every day. You know, we're in the middle of 3 million acres, so you never have to see the same thing twice. You'll never come across a paved road. There is one power line about, 20 miles away, but you don't have to see that if you don't want to. But, you know, like I say, it's rustic, it's simple, it's plain, it's basic, but it's a whole lot of fun.
And I bet the night sky is absolutely gorgeous there.
Oh, yeah, you bet. You know, middle summer, the Milky Way is right on top of us, and it's so close you could just about reach up and touch it.
I bet that's beautiful. Well, tell us, you mentioned that you have a lot of variety of riding. Tell us a little bit about that. Like, what's the terrain like? Let people know what the terrain is like there.
Well, you know, that's the great thing. It varies a lot. So you can pick and choose. You know, it's you can ride easy country, you can ride challenging country, you can ride the timber country or the open country. The timber country goes up to 10,000 feet elevation, and it's spruce and spur, aspen. You'd think you were in the mountains of Montana or Colorado there. And just a few miles away, you can go out in the grasslands, see herds of elk and antelope, rolling grasslands as far as you can see, mountains, deep canyons with streams and cottonwood bottoms in them. It's, there's some areas that are extremely rough and rocky. The mule riders love that country. There's a lot of old logging roads and two-track roads that you can travel, just hundreds and hundreds of miles of them. And then, you know, the open country is a bit more gentle, less rocks, there's something for everybody here. There really is.
So you have something to accommodate all levels of riding.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's great.
Some of our rides are on the trail, and some of our rides based out of the main headquarters here. And the ones that are based out of the headquarters here are general ranch riding weeks. We stay here every night. Everyone has their own cabin. Hot showers, sit-down meals. And at night we sit around the campfire and just discuss what everyone wants to do the next day. You know, some folks may want to just go out for 2 or 3 hours on an easy ride. Other folks want to pack a lunch and half a dinner and head up to the top of the mountain. So, you know, it's anything you want we can find for you here.
It sounds great. And you have a lot of all-inclusive riding and kind of Western adventures there. Can you talk a little bit about each of those?
Yeah, we have some rides that no one does. We've been doing a ride called Posse Week for years and years. It's pretty much our most hardcore ride. What it is two teams are horseback over about 125 square miles of beautiful country. Each team has a camp based out there, and each team has a map, and on the map are 6 locations of loot bags that are hidden with riddles to solve to find each loot bag. And the whole goal is for each team to beat out the other team as far as collecting the loot. You're out 5 nights. You can stay at your camp, or you can just sleep wherever night finds you. And the twist to it is the other team's trying to eliminate you. And that is done by paintball guns, of course, not while you're horseback or anywhere around the horses. We have a book of rules, all of them having to do with safety. But it's kind of, you know, it's really a real Wild West, step back in time sort of adventure. And,
that sounds like so much fun.
It's not for everybody. Yep. it's not for everybody, but it's a lot of fun.
Oh, gosh. I bet when they get back into the ranch after going through all of that, they look pretty good, don't they, with those paintballs?
You bet. If, you know, you can go on YouTube and look up Posse Weekend Bar Ranch, and there's several segments of the whole week there, and you look at the people at the beginning of the week, you know, a couple of them are dressed up pretty nice, and then the picture at the end of the week, you wouldn't even recognize them as being the same people.
Well,
wow.
We want to find out more about the different rides that you have, but we got to pay a few bills real quick, and so let's take a quick moment to recognize one of our great sponsors, and that is Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance with unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get your trailer and horses home or to your destination, 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle or the one that you're driving or anyone driving your vehicle, and one of my favorites is their 24-hour personal assistant to help you plan your trip and much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more today at trailguard.org. And right now, we're going to take a quick listen to Farrier Doug Figg's great award-winning song, Socios, and we'll be right back to talk more with Preston Bates and Tina Mae Weber on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
They were bigger and
prettier colts in the pen, but the little gray, he just had that look. I gypped him around once or twice, and that was all it took. From both sides of bridle, we walked each step, listening to one another. Now we're working together just like a team, depending on each other, 'cause we're partners. Dependiendo el uno del otro, porque somos socios. Well, I learned the ways of the horse from an old vaquero with eyes of blue. I think about all the horses we rode and a couple of hard spots we made it through. And though he was older than me, he treated me just like a brother. And when the ride got rough, we both knew we could depend upon each other, 'cause we were partners. Podríamos, dependemos el uno del otro, porque éramos socios.
Send me that N Bar song that he did, Preston.
It's a good song. It's about how early he has to go to bed to make the long drive to get out here to the ranch.
Oh, gosh. Well, hey, before I forget that, and for our audience, let's tell people exactly where you're located. You're in the Gila National Forest, aren't you?
Yeah, we're smack dab in the middle of the Gila National Forest, which if you look at New Mexico as a square, which it pretty much is, right in the, go right from the center of the state all the way over to the left to the west against the Arizona border. And we're actually, as the crow flies, only about 30-35 miles from the Arizona border.
Okay.
Wow.
And I think that you mentioned yesterday when we visited that folks fly in to Albuquerque.
Right. Our packages will include pick-up and drop-off at the Albuquerque airport. It's about 4.5 hours away, and our week start on a Sunday and end on a Saturday. So we pick up on Sunday. That's a travel day. We ride Monday through Friday, and then we take folks back to Albuquerque on Saturday.
Okay.
So that's kind of how things work there.
All right.
Neat. And so you offer... You have all-inclusive where you include the horse, and then others, if they want to bring their own horse, you also allow them to bring their own horses as well.
Sure, you bet. You know, we just started doing that in the last couple of years. So many folks are out on the roads now traveling with their horses. So we kind of offer a DIY thing where, you know, if you want to come and take part in one of our rides, bring your own horse, of course you get a break in the rate. And then also, you know, if folks just want to come and enjoy the Gila National Forest, they can either park here. But, of course, like a lot of Western National Forests, it's open to camping and horseback riding everywhere. so if anyone has questions or things like that as far as how to enjoy the Gila best, you know, give us a call and we'll tell you where great camping and great riding is. But
awesome.
Here at the ranch, the only thing with bringing outside horses in, you know, we tell folks, you know, remember we're at 8,000 feet just to start, and we ride up to 10,000 feet elevation. So, you know, make sure your horses are in good shape and take it easy on them the first couple days.
Right, right. Well, I want to talk more about some of the rides that you have scheduled and the events that you have coming up starting in May. Let's kind of go through some of those. You've got a spring cattle work coming up.
Right. We're going to be helping one of our neighbors, and we're going to be working along the San Francisco River, which is a really beautiful area out here in western New Mexico on the west side of the National Forest. And we're going to be gathering his cattle, which is mamas and babies, off the winter range. And we'll be camping out in tents, kind of real cowboy stuff, gathering his cattle up, and then we'll be sorting the calves, doing some branding, and all the gritty stuff that goes along with that. And then at the end of the week, we'll be pushing them up the mountain to the high country, to the summer country. And that week, you know, it's just four folks, and so you really get your hands dirty. Do as much or as little as you want, but most people jump right in and kind of do it all.
So get a taste of cowboy in.
You bet.
Right there on their
hang
end,
on just
real
a second. I need to switch phones just a minute. My batteries are going out.
Okay.
Got me on this phone?
My bucket list is really growing, Gary.
Well, I know that it is, yeah. So this is a place for people to put on their bucket list.
You ain't kidding. You ain't kidding.
Then,
are you all hooked up? There you go.
Yep, I think so. We live on solar power out here, so we're always kind of short on electricity. But anyway, you know, going through our more popular rides we do almost every month, which is our Pathfinder ride. And that's where we start about 80 to 100 miles away from the ranch on the edge of the National Forest, ride through the National Forest to the ranch. And we call it a Pathfinder ride because nobody knows. Even we don't know exactly where we're going. We know where we're going to end up, but we don't know what we're going to come across. You know, it's definitely an adventure. Just find a way through and camping out again at camps. You know, most of our folks who come are between about 40 and 60 years old, so we don't make you sleep on the ground. I'm done with sleeping on the ground, so we have tents with nice cots. It's comfortable. And cooking on the range. And then we have another ride that's called a Big Loop ride, which is similar to the Pathfinder ride, but we know the country that we're going to be riding. It's kind of our home country. It's about 80 to 100 mile loop through what we think is the best of the Gila National Forest, the high country. And same deal, staying in tent camps, traveling the range. And, you know, we just mosey along. We don't have pack animals. Truck carries all our supplies, meets us at a predetermined spot each night. So we just wander around, frees us up to do some loping if we hit a nice meadow or climb to the top of a mountain if we want to go that way. So it's like a pack trip, but a little bit smoother, more time in the saddle. And those are our two most popular rides there.
Wow.
Well, I have to ask. I've got to ask about the camping and the tents and so forth. Now, how's the food?
Oh, the food's pretty dang good. you know, if you leave our table hungry, it's your own fault. You know, it's all good, simple, basic, hearty, stick to your ribs sort of ranch food.
All right. Now, do you have a camp cook? You have a camp cook, or is that you?
That's my wife.
All right.
Yeah. We're kind of a small dog and pony show here. You know, there's just my wife and our hand Jay, who's been with us for years, just the three of us. So we kind of do it all.
Well, I encourage people to check out all these different rides that you have throughout your riding season. And talking about, what is your riding season there?
We start up the 1st of May. That's when we start doing that first cattle branding, and then we do have a couple Pathfinder rides in May, and we go through the end of August, and then we in September we turn over to our elk hunting. We're right in the premier area of the biggest herd of elk in New Mexico, so elk hunting kind of takes over the fall months. But you know, the elk here, it's, you know, we have a couple rides in June and July, general ranch riding weeks that we kind of emphasize the elk riding. These grasslands are where all the elk cows come out to have their calves. So there's thousands of elk out there with babies by their side, and you can ride out there and just see hundreds and hundreds of elk a day. It's great photo op. If you've never heard a herd of elk talking, it's one of the neatest things in the world. And that time of year, like I said, you can get within 100 yards of them, get some great photographs, and really see what's going on with the animal as a herd, is how they interact, and who's boss, and who are the lieutenants, and it's a fun time out in the grasslands.
Wow! So you've got your riding time between May and August, that first of May to the end of August, and then you've got this great hunting season, September and October.
Right. Yep. And then, wow. You know, about November, being at 8,000 feet, winters can settle in here hard and fast. So we're pretty much huddled down and hibernating until the following spring.
Wow, it sounds absolutely gorgeous. Why don't you give our listeners your website?
Website's nbarranch.com. And we also have a Facebook page, which is Nbar Ranch New Mexico. And the Facebook page gets new photos and updates every week. That's kind of the place to stay tuned for anything new and exciting going on, or just keep up with what we're doing.
Well, you've got a beautiful website, and enjoyed looking at the pictures that you have posted on your Facebook page as well. Those elk are not little, are they?
No, they're. No, some of those bull elk, heck, they look like a horse with a tree strap to their head. they get pretty big. They'll run 800 pounds easy.
Oh, wow. Well, it is another spot for people to put on their bucket list. And Tina May, I don't know how you're going to get in all of your riding that you're going to be.
I don't know either. I'm just going to have to live to be quite old in the saddle. I've got a lot of places I want to visit.
All right. Well, this is another one of them. And Preston, anything that you want me to tell Doug Figgs?
Yeah. Tell him not to forget us now that he's rich and famous.
Well, I will pass that on to him. Well, listen, Preston, thanks for taking the time to join us today and to share information about the great Nbar Ranch. And, again, we want people to visit the website. And how early should people make reservations?
Well, fairly early. We usually put up our calendar each year in November for the following year. Right now, we still have openings on most of our rides. So, you know, give us a call.
All right. Well, let's fill that ride schedule up for folks. Still plenty of time to get out and ride in the Gila National Forest and visit with Preston and the Nbar Ranch. And, Preston, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks so much for the opportunity. And, heck, we all really appreciate what you do for the industry.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
You have a great day, Preston.
You
thank
too.
You.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
And when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Tina May, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
You're running through the hot sun in the desert land, down the old dry riverbed into the burning sand. But still he keeps on coming, although he's just a man. And if the cowboy catches you, you'll have to wear his brand. Once your kind was many,
but now you're owed too few, and you can't stop to rest because the breed might end with you. The cowboys and the fences, they just keep closing in, so you've got to keep on running cause they're after you again. Silver Spur, keep on running like the wind. Though the hot sun and the desert seem to be your only friends, keep on running from the cowboy, he'll catch you if he can. And if the cowboy catches you, you'll have to wear his friend. Some call you an outlaw, some say renegade, but I know of just one reason for the legend that you've gained. Many men have tried to catch you, but you're still running free, and their hearts are filled with envy because they can never be. Silver Spur, keep on running like the wind. Though the hot sun and the desert seem to be your only friends, keep on running from the cowboy, he'll catch you if he can. And if the cowboy catches you, you'll have to wear his brand. But you look right out in front of you and there a cowboy stands, another one right behind you has a firebrand in his hand. And as the ropes go around you, you fight as best you can, and hunger for your freedom as they burn you with the brand. Silver Spur, no more running, no more running like the wind. Seems no matter where you go, the fences close you in. But your freedom you remember, just like a long lost friend. And you just won't be happy till you're free to run again. Silver Spur, you'll go running like the wind, out across the desert in the hot sun once again. Though he left his mark upon you, the cowboy didn't win, and you'll celebrate your freedom as you run into the wind. Yes, you'll celebrate your freedom as you run into the wind.
Silver Spur. And another great show today, Tina May.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
I got
think
places
if I were...
to go. Now she's got me rethinking the whole Grand Canyon trip.
Yeah, I think if I were going to pick between the Grand Canyon and Inbar Ranch, I know where I'd go.
I know where you'd go too. Now I want to go both. You could make it all in one trip.
There'd be a lot of time out and a lot of riding, but yeah, it's a great destination.
Yeah.
So anyway, appreciate Susanna being on the show as always, and really appreciate Preston taking his time out and telling us about the great Inbar Ranch there in New Mexico. And you know, I think I'm going to be out in Albuquerque in November. I'll be pretty close, but the wrong time of year to go out and visit with. Wrong time of year to visit with Preston. So, anyway, a great, great show.
You could
and,
go elk hunting.
I could go elk
early.
Hunting. Yeah, I'd have to go a little bit before that to get any elk hunting in, I'm afraid. But anyway, another great show, and we want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors, Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance, guarding you down life's trail, and you can learn more about them at trailguard.org. and also Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can shop with them online at trailheadsupply.com. And yeah, this is just such a good show. How are we going to top that next week?
Well, next week we have Andy Brayland with Trailhead Supply. Then we travel to Moran, Wyoming, and talk with Becky Palmquart, owner of Heart 6 Guest Ranch.
All right, so we're going to head out, heading out west again, and so that's going to be a great show. We're excited about the show that we have coming up Thursday on the Campfire Cafe. We have three very talented young men that are going to be joining us, and that is the group of Ryan Murphy, Johnny Dowers, and David Lane, the Sawdust Brothers. And so we're going to be talking with them and playing music from their new CD. And also we'll be joined by Tracy Pinson, a national champion with the Extreme Cowboy Racing Association, and also Peter Frazier from the Calgary Stampede. And we'll be talking about everything there is to learn about Extreme Cowboy Racing, and we'll be talking about the national championship that's taking place in conjunction with Equestrian Legacy Radio's Trail Ride and Benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. So that is going to be a fun show on Thursday. And then on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, Belinda's guest will be Teresa Burleson. So a great week of interesting conversation, great music, and great conversation with all these horse folks. And so just a lot of neat things that are coming up. And are you getting excited about this trail ride and benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation?
I most certainly am. I can't wait. It's going to be a great ride. It's going to be lots of fun activities and just so many people to meet and greet with.
Yeah, it's going to be a big time, and that date is June the 4th through the 7th. You can check out our website for all the information, but that's going to be held at the Circle E Guest Ranch, halfway between Nashville and Chattanooga, Tennessee. And great concerts, great shopping, great excitement going on with the Extreme Cowboy National Championship. So be sure and visit our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And you can make your reservations right there. Also, the concerts on Friday and Saturday night are going to be open to the general public. And so you can go online now to our website and make your advance ticket purchases for those two great concerts. Friday night will be Templeton Thompson, Stephanie Lane, and the Sawdust Brothers. And then, of course, on Saturday night with the legendary Michael Martin Murphy. So if you can't make it for the entire event, come and join us for whatever part you can and enjoy those great concerts as well. Legacy Club, what are we giving away this month?
This month we're giving away a $100 gift certificate from our select sponsor, Tucker Tack.
All right. All
kinds of goodies, too.
They do have, and then, of course, be sure and register with our Legacy Club membership so you're eligible for that great Hydra horse watering system that will be given away at the end of the year. And I know Jerry Carey, who was last year's winner, has got his installed and is excited, and we're going to be seeing Jerry and Helen at the event the first week of June at Circle E. So neat, neat stuff going on. Any final thoughts you'd like to leave with us?
Well, I just hope people get on the phone, make the reservations. I don't want anybody to miss out on this great ride for a great cause, the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation ride in Tennessee.
All right. So be sure and do that. Yeah, we're kind of filling up out there. So there's still time to make your reservations, still plenty of camping spots there, and also area hotels if you don't have living quarters with your trailer. You can stay in one of the hotels, one of the area hotels there as well. And we're going to have a booth there along with our other vendors. I expect you'll have one of your new saddles with you, won't you?
Yes, I will. I will have my new saddle there, my pads and my check box. And I'll be there with you, Gary. I hope everybody comes to our table and says hi.
All right. So we're looking forward to that. All the artists are going to be in our booth throughout the event. There'll be a little picking and singing going on throughout the event in addition to the concert. So it's going to be a big, big time. But anyway, we want to thank folks for joining us today for Saddle Up America. And we remind you again to visit our website to keep up to date with all the exciting events and the shows that are scheduled. And we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. Thanks for listening.
Drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seed. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. She cut me loose and told me don't come back. Now I'm like a hobo by the railroad track. Drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. Couldn't grow 'em through these cowboy boots. Drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. Yes, I'm drifting. Till then, I'm drifting again. Let's do some drifting. Here we go. Got the wind in my back.